Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
More dirt and Sprague.
Where are you going? And he's like, I'm going bowling. I just started laughing because I'm like, of course you're going bowling on a random Tuesday night.
Sounds like a great Tuesday night.
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Sprague.
Now, do you have your own ball?
I have two balls.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt and a little splash of Sprague.
Your spare ball, you don't want it to hook as much, so it will go straighter. And then the strike ball, you want to be able to get some crank on that.
Heat on that.
When you hit the pocket, you get big pin action.
Well, everybody wants to hit the pocket. I mean, come on now.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Hello.
What are we doing here?
We're having a radio show, Brian. Thanks for hopping on.
Holy catfish!
Hanging out with us. A lot to get to in the second hour, including your Trailblazers making a huge signing.
We made a move.
We made a move.
We made a move this weekend.
It fits exactly the model of player you want. No shooting ability, length, some athleticism.
Did we acquire a worse Matisse Thybulle?
Some would ask, did we acquire a worse Chris Murray?
Ooh.
Who's better?
I mean, it's kind of...
I don't think you could say one. I think two years ago, you would have not hesitated.
And made an easy argument. Yeah. One can't shoot the ball, and the other one can't make shots in games.
Well, they both can't shoot. That's their problem.
Well, one of them's a great shooter in practice, though, don't you know? He drains them all the time.
That's what I hear.
Nothing but net.
In practice.
And Tigard, he shoots an 80% clip. At the Moda Center, it's about a 24% clip.
I will give you a stat or story on a Monday asking how many minutes a game the newest Blazer played on average for the NBA champion New York Knicks. Okay,
in the finals or on the season?
Just with the Knicks.
He
got signed at the end of the year.
Yes, he did.
And he played in the playoffs with them, obviously won the ring.
Where was he before that? Was he overseas before that?
No, he was San Antonio.
Okay. They just came straight from San Antonio to New York.
Straight cut him.
Well, I mean, once they got Wemby, they didn't really need him anymore.
4-year, $80 million deal, and then straight cut. That's like us doing that to Shaden in 2 years, which I don't know how many people will be surprised by that.
No, at this point, no.
A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program, but as always, we got to kick it off. Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague.
Hello, good morning.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. What's my special today?
Your special today. Egg white omelet with a side of peaches and cottage cheese.
All right, what else is on the menu? What else we got on there? You got anything else on there? Cottage cheese at a restaurant? What's the matter with you? I'm not ordering cottage cheese when I go out for breakfast.
I mean, this is special cottage cheese.
What's so special about it?
There's a little pepper and
hot
sauce.
It's less gross than normal cottage cheese.
You don't like cottage cheese?
I mean, it's okay, but is there any food that looks grosser than cottage cheese? Just the appearance of it when you see it, it's like, ugh, there's no, like, I don't mind the taste of it. I'll eat cottage cheese randomly once in a blue moon, but the look of cottage cheese, like cottage cheese in a bowl.
It might look the grossest.
Like, if you didn't know what it was and you'd never tried it before, and I just said, here, take a bite of this. There's nobody that you hand that to, they say, oh, that looks good. Not a single person. Now, you might take that bite and say, that ended up being really good. I like cottage cheese, and good for you if you like cottage cheese. But there's nobody that's excited about taking that bite.
The grossest looking food. I think you might be right on this.
There's probably a few that we can't, like somebody will text something and be like, oh yeah, that's a good call. But it's in the running. It's on the big board of grossest looking foods.
It's in my finals, I think.
It's got to be in the top four.
I can't come up with one top of my head.
Got to be in the top four.
So there's your special today. But let's get it going. Our first menu item.
On the far side of the field. Now to DaCosta. DaCosta turns, faces goal, trying to work away from Brunel. Does so. Now across for Bye. Bye, chance to shoot. Does! Brandon Bye has given the Timbers the lead with a beauty of a strike from outside the box. It's 2-1 in the 82nd minute on Bye's first goal of 2026.
Fletcher Johnson, Timbers.
Ole, 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 ole.
Suck it, Seattle.
Dude, can we also call out their little B of a coach, too? Did you see what he said after the game?
Dude, nobody likes Schmetzer.
Schmetzer? What is this cat? Schmetzer?
Brian Schmetzer.
He's got glasses. He's bald. Get out of here, dude. He comes out complaining about the fans. Their TIFO was offensive. He said,
"Our fans have been offending people lately."
Good. We should. That's kind of one of the perks of soccer, is it not? You say stuff in the crowd. You piss people off. Like, is that what you're supposed to do?
I mean, you don't want to be racist.
I think this little B's worried and a little scared that he's, what, lost six in a row to the Timbers now?
Yeah.
That's six in a row? We don't even have our coach yet. We don't even have our manager yet. We don't even need him. So we got to fill in. We still smoked in Seattle.
Brandon Bye with the go-ahead goal in the 82nd minute. It was like 81, 37, whatever, but he gets the go-ahead
goal. That's the 82nd minute.
Did they round up?
No. When the clock starts at zero, and if you score in 25 seconds, that's the first minute of the game.
What are we doing here? Get out of the weeds. Get out of the weeds. Get off of the weeds. Get back onto the road.
Wait a minute.
Turn the car. Get back on the road. We don't need to do this.
Wait a minute.
Let's all make fun of Seattle. Turn the car.
Let's not go down that route. Nope. That's interesting.
We don't need soccer swag getting all snooby and snotty.
No, that's just math.
We don't need math swag getting all snooty again, okay?
So I had this game on, and the family's like kind of forced to watch this in the main room, and they're like, ugh. But we noted this right before the goal. They had like seven chances. They had the ball down there.
Yep.
They would not shoot.
Shoot it! Shoot the ball!
And finally, Brandon Bye does, and he makes it like, yes, thank you. And they get the damn win.
Tale as old as time. Fans at soccer matches and hockey games yelling, shoot the ball or shoot the puck. Shoot the puck!
Order up! His velocity has gone down. There's no question about it. The power stuff that he had when he started his career, that has been diminished. And I can't tell you if it's a one-year thing. Is this just someone tacking on mileage? Is it something mechanical? I don't know, but it's pretty clear that he's had a bit of a velocity drop. And you guys and, you know, I have seen that when there are times when these guys who come up are absolutely dominant, there's regression inevitably, right? I mean, it happened with Steven Strasburg. You guys remember a couple years ago, Spencer Strider was all the talking baseball, and now his fastball velocity is down. Paul Skenes, who started the year having the conversation, is he the best pitcher on the planet, or is Tarek Skubal? And now, the best pitcher on the planet is Jacob Mizorowski. So we'll see if Skenes makes some adjustments, but this year, he's not in the same class as Mizorowski.
Yeah, there's Buster Olney on Paul Skenes on ESPN Radio. Paul Skenes on the year, 9-9 with a 3.9 ERA. And there's people out there that study the advanced analytics of, like, velocity and pitching, and they've pointed out, like, maybe he threw too hard too much at the beginning because it has gone down substantially from where he was at a start point. I think it's a very good comp to bring up, by the way, on Olney there as a fan of the Braves. Spencer Strider has absolutely had this happen to him, where he came in, he was 99-100 almost every other pitch.
Right.
And dude can't stay healthy, and he goes out there and it doesn't feel the same. A lot of people are kind of wondering now, what does this mean for the future of Paul Skenes? I would argue maybe be a little more Greg Maddux in your life, but Paul Skenes quietly not having a great year in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's unique. I also go back to where we started the year, and I don't know if this is the reason, and I'm not arguing it is, but it's always a question I have, and it's one of the reasons why when my guys sign up for it, while I like watching the event, I'm not necessarily thrilled about it. He also threw some innings in the World Baseball Classic, and there was a ramp up that's a little bit quicker for pitchers, right? Like in spring training, when you show up, it's a lot of like slow build. But when you're throwing high velocity and high leverage innings early on in your spring training season, prior to the start of the regular season, there's just always that fear in the back of my mind. I've seen him be so dominant through 2 years. I get that the velocity's down and the numbers quite aren't the same this year. I'm not going to go there quite yet. If this continues to be a trend, obviously, the rest of the year and going into next year, then that's a question we got to start asking. He's got to evolve a little bit as a pitcher. His velocity numbers are still very high comparatively to baseball. They're just not at the top of the sport like maybe they were a year and a half ago. I don't know if it's a World Baseball Classic, but if I were a Pirates fan, that'd be in the back of my mind. Is hopefully next year with a full regular offseason, he'll be back to having the same velocity.
Order up!
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, I'm excited. They got a good group. You know, you hear everything across the way. I'm excited, though.
That was long-winded Tarek Skubal on joining the Dodgers.
Very outspoken.
You know what? Nobody cares. Just throw strikes. Win a game.
Dude, they don't give a rip down there, man. I just, yeah.
Here is Jeff Passan on what Skubal to L.A. Means for Major League Baseball and their lockout potentially looming.
As far as everything else goes in baseball, the collective bargaining agreement expires on December 1st.
And there's already been plenty of rhetoric about what the Dodgers have done in building this dynastic roster that it has. This is only going to exacerbate that, and all eyes will be on the Dodgers this October.
Good or bad for Major League Baseball and their labor negotiations that this happened?
It's only bad. You can't argue it's good. Now, this won't be the move that leads us to a lockout. I think if you've been reading the tea leaves and following the news, we were already heading in that direction. It certainly did not help or make things better. But it's not like as if Skubal was traded to the Milwaukee Brewers, we would avoid a lockout. We're heading that direction no matter what. The owners are arguing salary cap. It's a hill that the players will not die on. And so we're heading for a very lengthy and fiery offseason in Major League Baseball. The only question is how many games are we going to miss? And hopefully it's a minimal amount.
Order up!
You better have great depth in a bunch of your position rooms and certainly at the quarterback position. This is a you got to have guys that you trust, and I feel confident in the group that we have. I love how these guys are pushing each other. I love how these guys are working together, and you know, that competition thing, it's really you're competing against yourself every single day. But the idea that you have to get multiple guys ready to play all these positions, because you just can't predict anything in this league.
There is Kevin Stefanski, Atlanta Falcons head coach, on his quarterback depth. It sounds like it's early. It sounds like he kind of wants to go Penix, according to some of the reporting early on out of camp, over Tua, which I would label a huge shock, because I think when they signed Tua, it was more about like, oh, Tua can function if you can block for him. He's an incredibly accurate passer.
Cooper Rush isn't number one on the big board?
Cooper Rush is not number one on the big board.
I saw him win a Monday Night Football game one time with the Cowboys.
Did you?
I did.
Did he win it?
I think he did.
Oh.
Didn't he win a start on Monday Night Football one time when Romo was out? I remember him winning a primetime game and Cowboy fan being like, oh, do we need Dak?
But yeah, Kevin Stefanski on the quarterback depth in Atlanta.
I mean, if I'm a Falcons fan, first off, sorry. Second, yeah, you still have to root for Penix to get the job, don't you? Like, there's just less of a sample size there. We've kind of seen it with Tua. He is what he is. He's a weak arm, left-handed quarterback who can't win games in cold weather. And that might certainly be what Michael Penix ends up being in his career. But at least with the minimal amount of snaps and games that he's played due to injury, there's still at least the hope in my mind that if he could stay healthy, he turns into something. So I would absolutely be rooting for the guy who you just took in the first round 2 years ago to be your starting quarterback going into the third year. If Tua is your starter, you just kind of know what he is at this point.
Order up! I mean, it's been awesome. We've been able to catch up on so much stuff personally, but just to be back in the football part of it, it's been really unique. The thing I'm probably enjoying the most is watching him mentor the young quarterback. So that's it's great to have him here.
Dirt, that's Mike McCarthy on Aaron Rodgers and reuniting with A-Rod as Steelers camp has been underway.
The Yinzer himself back home in Pennsylvania.
Yes, indeed. There's also a report came out that just before that playoff game, when they got their asses whooped by the Texans, Rodgers was dealing with the flu.
Ooh.
That was the make or break
situation.
That's
why they lost
the game.
That's
why they lost.
Well, if he would have been healthy, I mean, come on. He got the bubble guts. Can't overcome that.
I mean, his wife gave him the okay to play one more year, and he's reunited with Mike McCarthy, and I still think they're not going to be very good.
How has TMZ not gotten a picture? How?
That's impossible.
How is it possible that in all this time, TMZ's not grabbed
not one person has a photo of this lady?
Any sort of information about her
that's
identity.
That's friends with her, tagged her on Instagram, Facebook.
Just one. That's all. Just
She's
one.
She's just been off the grid the entire time.
Never on the internet. Novel concept.
We're either going to get, you know, proven wrong and we'll go, look, we're wrong. Or we are going to have one of the craziest stories since
Manti Te'o.
Manti Te'o.
I mean, this is Manti Te'o, but marriage.
Actually worse, because Manti Te'o was a college kid duped on the internet.
He got catfished, man.
He got catfished.
Yeah, thinking he was dating a chick online.
Now, was it an interesting dude peeking down behind a closet board in an interview? Yeah, it was.
I was
uncomfortable watching that interview.
Very strange.
Rodgers having a fake wife would be all-time.
I mean, it's an all-timer. It's just a funny thing to joke about. I'm a Rodgers guy. I'll enjoy watching him one more run. I'm not expecting much because of his age, and just the Steelers are still kind of the same team to me. And in the back of my mind, to be honest, kind of talking about this with the Falcons and their quarterback situation, look, I don't necessarily think either of them are going to be good, but there would be a breaking point for me at some point. Like, if we're not going anywhere, can we give Drew Aller some snaps? Like, he's probably going to suck.
Is it Aller or Howard?
Or Will Howard could be the backup. But they've taken a quarterback in the draft the last 2 years, not in the first round. But they've taken flyers on guys. Like, if you get to the halfway point of the year and you're below 500 and Rodgers is clearly playing like a 40-something-year-old quarterback, let's give him a couple snaps. What could it hurt?
The two biggest reasons, one would be Liam Cohen, and the other one's sort of Liam Cohen related, because I do think that he has unlocked something in Trevor Lawrence that we haven't seen anyone else be able to unlock. And I think the way Trevor played the last 8 weeks, the last season, was the best football he's played in his career. And, you know, it's no coincidence that Liam Cohen got that out of Trevor Lawrence a year after he got the best football out of Baker Mayfield's career down in Tampa. So Liam Cohen is a fantastic play caller, great in terms of scheme and figuring out how to exploit mismatches. And then if he has Trevor rolling like I think he does, then this team could be pretty darn good.
That was Michael DiRocco of ESPN on the Jags. He thinks the Jags are going to be even better than they were last year, which I would argue – super under the radar team, it feels like,
without
in the national narrative of things in the AFC. They had a great regular season. They lost in the wild card to Josh Allen.
They could have easily won that. I mean, remember Lawrence threw a couple of picks. They had a chance to win that game at the end.
Yeah, and they didn't. But you know what? They're bringing it all back. Liam Cohen had a great year, year one. Jags under the radar.
My favorite thing about the Jags in the last 2 weeks has been Liam Cohen and Ben Johnson getting into a nobody's giving us a chance off. And Liam Cohen had a quote. And look at all the prediction magazines. Look at all the headlines. Ain't nobody talking about the Jags. They're all talking about the Bears. And then somebody asked Ben Johnson about that, and he was like, well, actually, nobody's given us a chance either. Nobody thinks we're going to do anything to repeat. It's like, God, would you guys both just shut up? The Jags are a team, though, that I think are flying under the radar. It's because nobody thinks about the Jags. They're one of the most irrelevant franchises in the NFL. They don't have fans. They're basically a pseudo-European team. But what you saw from Lawrence last year in year one under a new head coach, like, That is inspiring stuff. I think in the NFL we have seen time and time again, there's an idea of you did it once, that's great, now let's go see you do it again because this is a topsy-turvy league. They do it again, then the future is really bright. But I do agree that they're flying under the radar.
Order up!
Cam is a guy that sees the field from touchdown to checkdown. He loves to look downfield at vertical opportunities. And so I think Dave's is going to give him that. He's going to have Calvin Ridley and Carnell Tate running go routes, if you will, down the field. And then he is going to have Wandell Robinson, Gunnar Helm, and Tajay Spears underneath. And he's going to say, if you don't see it immediately downfield, then you look at short intermediate throws or you look to take off to extend the play with your legs. And I think that's really the way that he's going to call this offense.
That's Titans play-by-play man Taylor Zarzour on Brian Daboll in at year one with Cam Ward and the Tennessee Titans.
It's a Zarzour?
Zarzour.
Zarzour?
Yeah, Zarzour.
That's a hell of a name.
I think I'm saying it right. Zarzour.
I've never heard of you. I've heard of him. I'll take your word for it. I am excited, though, man. I think they're one of the more intriguing. Like, we've seen, to the point that I just brought up, like, there's trends in the NFL. Some of it is guys in year two with a new coach popping. We literally just saw a quarterback go to the Super Bowl in the AFC, mm-hmm. who 2 years ago they were one of the worst franchises in the NFL. And had an incompetent head coach, you make a move there, you get a couple of pieces, voila. I'm not saying the Titans are in the Super Bowl this year, but I do think they had a phenomenal offseason hiring a great defensive-minded head coach, adding a really proven offensive coordinator play caller behind him to have kind of a tandem of two guys who have head coaching experience. And so that's a great step for a young quarterback. They drafted a wide receiver. We'll see the impact that he has right away. Like, the Titans are an interesting team, man. They got a new stadium that they're building down there. Cam Ward was a number one overall pick. I'm curious to see what they could do this year.
Order up!
He changes everything. To say they're happy about him would be a massive understatement of the ages. They just like the impact he will have on other defenses. Bo Nix has had difficulty making much headway in the middle of the field between the numbers, and Waddle changes all that.
There's ESPN's Jeff Legwold on the Broncos getting Jalen Waddle, who's making really good impact. So far, early in camp for Denver, a huge weapon for Bo Nix in that offense.
Yeah, they're raving about him down in Denver. A young quarterback, still on a rookie deal, hasn't signed the extension yet. You got the Russell Wilson contract finally off the books. What do? You go be aggressive and you add him another weapon. And so that was one of the more notable moves of the offseason. Talk about teams who were close, right, going into the year, feeling like they're a player or two away from getting to the ultimate prize. You added a bigger piece on offense, and so far the camp reviews have been really strong.
And finally here, Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague.
Order up. Buddy Hield gets a few minutes here. It's going to be something Quinn Snyder might tap into in Game 6. Challenge there on Sohan, the former San Antonio Spurs lottery pick, who hits a three.
Ah, Mike Tirico, NBC.
That's Jeremy our guy.
Sohan.
What did he hit there? What did he knock down? He knocked down a three. We got shooters!
How many minutes a game did the newest Blazer average with the New York Knicks? They made a signing, and we were kind of the talk of the league. Over the weekend. We'll get to that coming up next. 105.1 The Fan.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan. I saw something from a college football reporter today. Mm-hmm. Did college football get even easier for you as a sports fan?
It's already pretty easy for me.
Well, I'd argue it may have gotten easier.
Okay.
A one-stop shop.
One for everything you need, college football related?
Well, not everything you need college football related, but college football is a part of everything you need.
We didn't talk about it last week. Did you see the thing that A&M built? Did you see that story at all?
I did not see that.
A&M? They built, it reminded me of, so we were talking to our boss, Cooley, who worked in Boston for a couple of years. He was in Portland, went to Boston, but he told us about these fans near Foxborough that would rent like storage places and basically turn them into garage storage places. They turn them into like tailgate because the traffic is so bad in and out. So people go put their grill there and you sit out front, you tailgate, and then you wait for the traffic to die down. They literally built, and I don't know how walkable it is to the stadium, basically like tailgate apartments, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the exact cost. They looked awesome. It was like in the general vicinity of the stadium, and it's basically a selling point of like, you buy this, you come, you got a place to park, there's a place you can sit and tailgate. If you want to crash after the game, you can crash after the game. Like you could theoretically live there if you want to.
Game day suites.
Yeah. But they're basically just billed as rich people tailgate spots with a house in it, so you could be close to the stadium and tailgate, and it's right there. And I don't know why that just had that thought bubble, but it was interesting. If I had money and I'm an A&M fan, I'd buy one of those in a heartbeat.
Yeah, this is, it's walkable.
It is walkable to the
very
city.
Walkable.
I assume that it was when they built it. Now, look, they look badass, dude.
They do look badass. yeah, so we'll bring that to you coming up next. The Trailblazers made a signing over the weekend.
We did it, baby. We did it.
Now, I want to give credit. I have to go back. I want to give credit to a listener who corrected the record for us, because when we signed two-way, what's his face?
Oh, the last guy we signed?
Who was the last guy we signed? That's why I just eating a protein bar. Who's the two-way guy?
Somebody's going to say the name, and we're going to go, oh, yeah, that's right. Tanjay.
John Tanjay. When they signed John Tanjay, we had said, there we go, there's your last move. And this listener said, actually, technically, the two-way doesn't count.
Yeah, that doesn't count against the 15.
Yeah, so
what, does this
just
one count either? Because we didn't even give him a roster spot.
This one, yes,
I think counts.
I thought it was just a camp invite.
It's a one-year non-guaranteed contract. They can cut him.
Okay, got it.
But I think this is
technically
counting.
Our last player.
If that listener corrects us again, yeah, I'll let you know. But it was very nice.
This makes 15 plus the 3 2 ways.
But we have the ability to cut him in camp if we want to.
They can cut him without financial repercussions.
Got it.
It's a non-guaranteed deal.
Now, it's also a name you're familiar with, because a couple years ago, Greg Popovich tried to make him their starting point guard. The Spurs were so down and out as a franchise, they thought, what if Jeremy Sohan was our point guard? It's one of the odder seasons of Spurs basketball I've ever seen in my life.
Can we go back to that Spurs basketball?
Go back to that one. That was hilarious.
I'd like to go back to that.
He really thought Jeremy Sohan was going to be a point guard. Yeah, it's one of the dumber, all-time great coach thoughts I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, he went from 4 years, $80 million with the Spurs to get out of here, goodbye, $800,000 for the Knicks. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, okay?
I'm ready.
Over-under. I'll do an over-under for a sadder story here.
Okay.
Over-under 7.5 minutes Jeremy Sochan averaged for the New York Knicks per game that he played last season.
I did see in the NBA, I know how many minutes he played in the NBA Finals, but I did not look at the season totals. I'm going to say slightly over.
Over?
Slightly over. About 8 minutes a game.
Under 6.9.
Nice.
Right at that sweet spot.
It's right where you want your guys to play. I think his minutes total in the NBA Finals was 3. He did attempt a field goal.
We got another player that can't shoot.
He did attempt a field goal. Okay. He was 0 for 1. Wow. He got a shot up in the NBA Finals. You know what he will lead the team in next year?
Yeah.
Shots attempted in the NBA Finals the season before. He will be number one.
I should have pulled this. Did you see Chris Mannix on the podcast with Evan Turner? Did you see this cut?
I did not see the cut, no.
So he did a pod, Mannix did. He wrote a whole piece on Tom Dundon, and he talked about what he's like as an owner and all this stuff. He revealed to Evan Turner that Tom Dundon got to the Blazers and started saying, like, how come we don't go get Christian Wood?
Oh, is Christian Wood still in the NBA?
And that was immediately the response of, like,
what happened to Christian Wood?
Christian Wood's not.
Christian Wood had a moment. I remember the Christian Wood moment in time.
He definitely had a moment. Bold to call it a moment.
I had a buddy who was super high on Christian Wood.
Is what I would say Christian Wood had.
Wanted us to acquire him at every possible
chance.
Well,
there any player that's fringe level really good, we think we can get for cheap.
Let's go get that guy.
Trade nobody and get him, and he'll become the superstar version of himself.
Yeah, he has not been in the league since 23-24.
Oh, it's just something interesting to think about with the Sochan thing of, like, there's really no ramifications of the signing. He might not even make it out of camp.
No, you can cut him if you want to. Who cares?
It's more the idea of, like, is that a name Tom Dundon recognized and went, Jeremy Sochan?
I know that name.
How much does that cost, Joe? And Joe's like,
nothing.
Almost nothing.
Literally nothing.
Great, let's do it.
Let's go acquire him. Now, hey, let's put a little respect on Christian Wood's name.
Okay.
2021 season.
Yeah.
With the Houston Rockets.
Yes, I remember that.
Do you remember his averages?
I'm going to say 21.
21 points per game, 9.6 rebounds.
That's
a moment for a season.
I watched a lot more Rockets that year for some reason.
And then it went to 17.9, then 16.6, then 6.9, and then he was out of the NBA.
Well, he was also a bad attitude dude. He was not very good.
Well, maybe now he's learned his lesson. Maybe Tom Dundon's right. We should go get him. He's only 30 years old. He's been out of the league for 2 years already. If you average 21 and 10 in an NBA season, I'll allow it. That's a moment in time.
Well, we played in Cafe de Dirt and Sprague, Sochan shooting a 3 and making it on NBC against Atlanta. Would you care to guess over under?
Oh, no.
2.5 3-point attempts per game last year.
It has to be under, right? Has to be. Has to be under.
Okay.
Right? No way they let him shoot. No way.
Do you want the Spurs or the Knicks numbers?
Both.
Spurs, 1.3.
Yeah.
Knicks, 0.6.
Yeah, you ain't shooting, buddy.
What do we need on this team?
We need size, Brandon Sprague, and we need defense, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
Who cares
about
shooting? We have Damian Lillard coming
back. Right, right.
And John Morant will be an improved shooter this year because of the spacing.
Yeah.
We need size, and we need defense, all right?
Yeah. He played 44 games last season in total.
It's an absolute nothing burger. You're not going to get – I mean, if you're not good enough to play in San Antonio and New York, and you're completely out of the rotation – I don't think you're going to come to Portland and be playing 20 minutes a night. You take a flyer on a guy because it costs you literally nothing. You bring him to camp. You make him compete in camp. It's a good defender to have in camp, so at least you have that going for you. If he ends up making the roster, it could be a guy you put in the last 7 minutes of a game when you have a lead and you need a lengthy defender because he's okay at that.
Mm-hmm.
I had a chuckle remembering back to he was definitely a guy that I circled coming out of that. What was it, 2022, I want to say, was his draft? It was the Shaden Sharpe draft. And that was one. He was one of the guys we debated. It was like you got this guy in Shaden who didn't play in college. Does he actually love basketball? We had seen this cat play at Baylor and be a dominant big. Then wasn't that the year they won the championship? Was he on their title team at Baylor, if I remember correctly? But I remember debating him and talking about him coming out. And his career has not gone great in the last 2.5 seasons, if you will. And now he's getting a camp invite, essentially non-guaranteed contract. But at the end of the day, they clearly were not willing to use their mid-level exception. Maybe they just didn't think that there was a good enough player out there to use it on, or the other players that they tried to use it on, a la Rui Hachimura, wanted to stay in Los Angeles. And so
yeah.
I don't...
2 years, $14 million would have been great to get Rui here, but
yes,
he didn't want to leave.
He wanted to live in L.A., and yeah. I don't blame him. So that's not one I'm going to kill the Blazers for not getting him, or because they tried to get him, and he didn't want to move to Portland. He wanted to stay in Los Angeles, and that's why he signed with the Clippers. And so there is an idea of that I'm not going to kill him for not using the mid-level exception. Mm-hmm. If like you don't just use it to use it because you got one. You might as well keep the flexibility if there's not a player that you think is worth that amount. And now the roster should hopefully be set, and we see who makes a team out of camp.
Here is Bill Simmons. He did a pretty substantial amount of time on his pod regarding Tom Dundon and the Blazers. And he had this to say in terms of his takeaway right now, where he sits with Tom Dundon here in Portland.
And my fear for people in Portland is that he looked at what the expansion numbers would be, which everybody's saying between 7 and 8. And he's like, I could just steal Portland for 4.25, whatever it ended up being. And then I'll just move them somewhere else. And yeah. I think Kansas City is, I mentioned them a couple weeks ago, and I think I was the first one to mention it. First of all, Kansas City could make an argument. They maybe should have a team. Like they've really grown. They have a state-of-the-art arena. They've hosted big events. I think the city's grown. They're in a part of the country that they don't really have. Like, you know, I think they would help. They'd help with conference alignment. But I wouldn't be Portland. And what's dangerous about Kansas City is they'll take any team, right? Seattle, Portland's not moving to Seattle. Seattle doesn't want the Trailblazers. They have a long rivalry and a history, and they know what it's like when you lose a team. I don't think they're going to want that. They didn't really want Sacramento either. They want like an expansion team. But I think Kansas City would be the one I'd be worried about, especially one of the minority owners is a St. Louis guy.
Yeah, that's been talked about, but we've talked to somebody in Kansas City. Their arena is actually older than people think it is.
Right,
it needs renovations.
State-of-the-art arena.
This is kind of what we talked about early in the 6 right. a.m. segment of like, it's cool. I always think it's cool when a national podcast does mention Portland just because they don't largely do it.
Shine the light on the situation we're in. Bring as much attention to it as you possibly can.
And I think that is good. I also think he has broken the fundamental belief brain of the NBA media. And I'm not saying that it's all good. It's not. There's certainly a ton of it that I hate. But I think there's elements of the way he's being an owner that is breaking the brains of anybody in the NBA.
Yes.
And what I would say is look at the way the offseason went. Why did the Celtics just punt on Jaylen Brown for that?
Right. That's all you got in return?
That's a bizarre move, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Okay, like Rui Hachimura, who you can certainly say is only X amount of good player. 2 years, $14
million? Mm.
$7 million for a pretty...
Like, not going to be signed with the Lakers. You want to live in Los Angeles?
A pretty good role guy?
That's the option you got.
So like you get the high-end contracts, and then you get the players who... Like Kuminga right now is a free agent because nobody wants to pay him, but he wants $20 million a year.
Right. Sometime at you some know? Point that will reach a breaking point.
The financials internally in the NBA are at a weird spot right now. It's more expensive than ever to buy. I still don't buy the idea of him moving the team. He may want to because of whatever tax breaks, business, whatever.
Also costs a lot of money to move a team, and everybody keeps telling me he's broke as hell.
I just don't buy that he has a destination. I don't buy Kansas City. St. Louis is not a market. Like, he went through it on his pod. St. Louis is not a market. Austin's never going to get a team unless it's the Spurs.
No.
Like, Nashville's only going to get Memphis.
Right.
He shouted out New Orleans is not an NBA city. Other than that, he didn't name anything else.
No, there's not a lot of
options
out there.
So, like, I keep sitting on this. I don't think he's going to take the team. I also... You know, it's August 3rd. In 9 days, we have a vote. I think the vote's going to pass. And then what? Are we going to get back to the stalemate of you're awful, you're not giving me all I want? Like, how much is he going to demand? Is it going to be just what the city and this county and the state vote on? Or is it going to be more than that? So we're still sitting in a real murky spot. But the fear-based stuff has certainly made its rounds around the league about him trying to relocate the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, it's going to be out there until you get a deal finalized, or maybe the funding getting passed to your point next week would be a step in the right direction where some of this chatter goes away. I will go back to what I said in the opening hour of the show. I think it's great when national voices shine the light on the situation that we're in, highlight how great of a basketball city we are. It ups the profile of the dilemma that we find ourselves in, and it can only help us at the league level when you have powerful national voices talking about it. I will argue that while simultaneously say, don't take everything that you're hearing from these national voices seriously. They are not to the level of boots on the ground that a lot of people who are covering this day in and day out are. I take much more out of Wright Gasaway reporting on the situation that we're in than Bill Simmons. And Bill Simmons is a very powerful voice. He's just not involved in the day in and day out and down into the weeds. And so I'm very proud or very excited that they're shining the light on it. My advice to fans, though, is don't hear this and be like, oh, my God, we're moving to Kansas City. That's not necessarily the case here. So keep shining the light, but don't take what they're saying too seriously.
A lot more to get into, Dirt and Spray. We've got a conflict of interest and a one-stop shop. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
Hey, guys. Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Binary Brewing and The Fan have teamed up for the only Fan IPA available for limited time. Taste The Fan with Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA. Go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location and ask them about their only fan. So good. Only The Fan and Binary Brewing can pull it off.
That's good shit right there.
In the third and fourth hour of the radio program, Dan Lanning, who is set to talk today at Oregon Media Day.
Yes. Much different messaging, I'm sure, from him than when we got last week at Big Ten Media Day.
Well, also, you get to hear from more people who can't
you do.
Go
that's
on the
That's the
trips.
Benefit of it. You get all the player side of it, because I'm pretty sure they make every player available, if I remember from years past. They all get their little table, and you got their little... So you'll see videos and cutouts from almost everybody on the team today.
So we'll get that audio for you tomorrow. I'm sure we'll get some cuts and some odds and ends down from Brandman down in Eugene for Oregon Media Day. What was Mario Lopez thinking? We'll get to that today. Swag's laughing. That makes me know Swag even saw this very bizarre video that he created with AI, and nobody understands why you would do this. Somebody needs to call the authorities. An active investigation needs to start. We'll get to that coming up.
I want the feds involved.
Trying to fit a couple things in at one time.
That's what Mario Lopez was kind of doing. Don't do it. We'll hold it for later. Hold it for later.
Okay. It's kind of a mixed bag segment, okay?
I like a good grab bag.
Let's talk about a one-stop shop involving college football.
What do you got for me? You know I love college football. You know I'm all about it.
I know
you are. I can't wait. I think 33 days until week one, if I'm not wrong. Everybody's camp opens. We're 28-ish, 7-ish days away from week zero.
Well, for shoppers like us, Costco is now selling discounted tickets for South Carolina, what? Washington,
what?
Louisville,
what?
Tulane, FAU, Temple, and UConn home games, amongst other teams. Tickets will vary between $11.99, all FAU home games, to $202.99, Indiana at Washington, Penn State at UW, and include $20 food and beverage credits or parking.
Love the idea of it. Can I allow myself to make a quick joke here?
Okay, I don't know what the joke would be.
I mean, the joke would just be, if you're selling tickets at Costco, does that mean you're having a hard time selling your tickets?
Well, didn't Oregon do this like a year or two ago?
I don't remember. Maybe they did. I don't remember them doing
Swag,
it.
Swag, didn't
I thought that was Groupon.
Oh, you're right. It was
did we do a Groupon?
Would you rather be selling at Costco or on Groupon?
I mean, we could probably put these in Costco for the Portland State game because nobody wants to go to that game, and it's on a Friday night, so those should all be given away for free.
Are you shocked we don't get more sports ticket options at Costco, by the way? That's a good deal.
I mean, this is back in the day. We used to go to G.I. Joe's to get tickets stuff. Like, that was the way you would buy tickets. Go to G.I. Joe's and get four tickets to a Blazer game, man, or a Duck game or whatever. The idea of it's great. I am all about the affordability of it, because there's a lot of games that you want to go to that just simply are not affordable, and so you think you're maybe getting a better deal out of it. So in theory, I like it. I just, whenever I'm presented the opportunity, I like to make a chance or take the opportunity.
Because Washington's on it?
Without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, how many teams outside of South Carolina who is very a passionate fandom, but they never do anything that matters? And so I don't know. I mean, I know they sell out their games. They got a great atmosphere. But is that like wearing thin of, like, last year there were big expectations and they fell directly on their face.
I think that's more,
yeah, here we go. No, we're still South Carolina.
I think you've nailed it.
We got everybody back, and it doesn't matter.
Nobody
still
likes your coach. Everything's going to get fired.
We're still not relevant. So outside of them, is there anybody else that's like, I mean, look, let's be honest about the Huskies. Last couple of years, sans big games, which are always going to sell out. They've had, even the Oregon game, if I'm not wrong, didn't they not fill up the student section for the Oregon game at the end of the year? Like, I remember making fun of them on social media of, like, there's like 10 rows of open students.
What do you mean,
section.
The James Madison game?
No. Oh, what? You taking an Oregon JMU shot?
No.
I think he's asking, are you talking
is that
about
the game?
No,
the
Oregon-Washington game at the last week of the season, the Washington fans did not sell out their student section.
Ah.
Poll question of, where would you rather have your team sell their college football tickets, Costco or Groupon?
I mean, I'll take Costco, just because Costco's great.
Yeah, Costco.
And I like
great.
Going to Costco.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Costco's
I'm with
fun.
You there. Good deal. Let me ask you another college football question.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to have time to get to my, how was Adam Schefter allowed?
Oh.
Did you see that story?
No. What did Adam Schefter do?
I didn't see that one.
I'll tease this, okay? We can get to this later.
Okay.
It was found out that Adam Schefter is a pretty substantial investor in Underdog.
Oh.
Which is a predictions-based sports fantasy website.
Seems like a bit of an issue there. A little bit of an issue.
A bit of an issue.
Like having family members who were betting the administration on Cauchy. Yeah.
How is it?
It should not be legal is the follow-up to that. But
anyways, we can get to that or we can not get to that. So there's a photo being sent out around the internet because, you know, camp and workouts and everything. College football camp is about to open up for many. There is a photo of John Mateer right now on the internet. And it's a dumb take. He's too buff to be great.
Too strong?
Too.
Yeah.
Too chiseled, too ripped, too buff.
He's a good-looking cat, man.
Limited. Don't want my NFL team drafting him.
You want your quarterbacks a little more scrawny?
I want my
Where's
quarterback
the breaking point?
Scrawny or scrawny? Doughy, undefined.
You want a doughy quarterback?
Hell yeah, dude. Mahomes is doughy.
He is. I mean, you're not wrong.
I want a little butt pad.
He's
like,
very doughy.
I don't want chiseled ass cheeks.
Let's rank
and
our
8 abs. Okay. I don't need a Ninja Turtle as my quarterback.
Yeah, you need a Brock Purdy looking dude.
I need a Brock Purdy. You look at Brock Purdy and me next to each other, you'd be like, how the hell are you an NFL quarterback?
He's wearing a nice pair of Wranglers right there.
Exactly. They're real comfortable. Jeans. I don't need him busting out of the jeans like he's the Incredible Hulk. I don't need Lou Ferrigno as my quarterback.
Give me my...
Just look up John Mateer right now. He has a shirtless photo circular. It looks like he did steroids right before he dropped back.
He's a very fit individual.
He's too fit.
Is that the Mark Sanchez syndrome right there?
He makes Mark Sanchez look like Mahomes.
Yeah, he definitely looks
it's
way too buff here.
It's insane, Swigard. He's absolutely shredded.
Dare I say, though...
Who's the most buff quarterback in the NFL? And I'm talking like defined muscles. Josh Allen is strong. We know this.
Yeah.
He ain't going around shirtless with a nice tan. Who is it?
So I don't know if I'm getting butt cracked or AI'd. There's been some pictures of Dak Prescott that have circulated this offseason that make it look like he's on the sauce too.
He has one playoff win. My case rests.
that defends your argument.
Yes.
Other really buff quarterbacks. Hurts is a pretty buff cat. He seems like he's in good shape.
That's a good one.
Squats like 800 pounds.
That's kind of in my face.
Well, or is it?
He won a Super Bowl.
I mean, he did.
You can't beat winning a Super Bowl.
I mean, is he going to be out of a job in a year? He might be. So, you know,
he might be.
Congrats on your Super Bowl.
You're right. Hurts a good one.
You know, my guy's probably in there. I'd imagine Herbert's pretty one of the, like, in terms of, like, fitness, he's got to be near the top of the list.
I mean,
he's not yoked to that
That's
level.
That's what I'm saying. The difference between being strong and big.
Just
Herbert's
large.
6'6 and large, and he's strong, absolutely.
He doesn't seem as... Allen seems a little doughier than Herbert to me.
Yeah, Mateer just looks roided out almost.
Oh, we'll give you the take, though. NFL quarterback, agree with you. College quarterback, dude, he can't throw the football that good anyways. Get yoked and go run people over.
go be
Jeremiah Masoli, man.
A Mack truck.
It's 4th and 1. Truck a safety on 4th down and pick up that 1st down. I'm all for it from my college quarterback. NFL quarterback, agree with the take.
Costco, by the way, killing Groupon. More embarrassing
I mean, it's
that you
not
guys
even
were on
close.
Groupon.
Hey. Easy. This is a Husky make fun of segment.
I actually wish my team would get into Costco.
I mean, you guys probably use it.
We need to. We need that FAU plan.
Here's $10, you know? Hey, any game you want to go to, pick a game.
Loaded 3rd hour and 4th hour, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.